Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Live in the freedom that God loves you unconditionally.
And He loves you unconditionally.
God's love for you is unconditional.
Preaching that God loves you unconditionally is the wrong message.
God has a good will towards everybody, believers and non-believers.
But there is another love reserved only for those who embrace the gospel and put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't you worry. We've got the video. This is Wretched Radio.
That's weak.
That's the best clip I can find. This is Wretched Radio. If you go to the YouTube machine, wow, what people film and put up on the internet for our amusement, you're going to find plenty of people falling down the stairs. That was actually a drunk couple falling down the stairs. There's also a Roomba falling down the stairs. Children, oh, that's knee-slapping funny, falling down the stairs. Oh, if only there were video of a grown man yelling at his dog, falling down the stairs, who shows up at the ministry with his arm in a sling.
Yeah, that was me.
Please tell me somebody got this.
No.
Nothing.
No one was around.
So here's the tale of Jimmy Hicks and his busted left arm. He was yelling, the doorbell rings.
Uh-huh.
Correct me if I've got this wrong. Your dog, as is usual, goes ballistic. You decide, I'm going to zip that dog up. And karma.
Yeah, that's a real thing.
Kicked it in gear and sent you down the stairs.
So to what normally shuts him up when he's barking like that, when someone's at the door, is to open the door to show him that there's no one there or it's not anything.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what I was rushing to do, was to rush down the stairs to open the door so he would stop barking.
Uh-huh.
Because his bark cuts through everything.
Uh-huh.
And I had socks on and slipped right down the stairs.
All right. And now, with no kidding, all seriousness, how's the dog?
he's pretty upset.
Is he doing all right?
Yeah.
Well, let's see how this here wretched program goes today. So if you hear a bloop or a zing or a well, you know the issue. You can blame it on the dog. You know what would have been a better story if it were a cat? Because then wait, hold on a second. Jimmy, I'm getting a phone call. Just, if you could just, I don't know, just buy time some. Hello? Yes? Yeah, sure, Jimmy is here at the minute. Yeah. What do you mean you want to talk to him about animal cruelty?
Okay,
look, could you text me? Okay, Jimmy, you might want to skedaddle. That was PETA.
That was PETA.
Calling for yelling at the dog like that. You sure it was just yelling?
Well, yeah, it was, because my wife wouldn't let me do what I wanted to do.
And rightly so. Hey, as long as we're talking about us, well, okay, at least we're mocking Jimmy in an encouraging kind of way. Jimmy, when you sent out the text that you'd busted your arm,
mm-hmm,
to like three or four of us guys here, yeah, at the ministry, how much sympathy did it elicit?
Absolutely zero.
Yeah. How long did it take for you to get teased?
1.4 seconds.
Yeah. Well, that's love.
That's right
there.
That's
See,
right.
That is masculine love being expressed. I know you ladies don't get that, but trust us. That's how we do it.
That's right.
Received an email, Jimmy. This is very exciting. You know, it's this time of year where a lot of ministries are looking for support. So I just thought we'd provide you an opportunity to support a ministry that may be of interest to you. Dear Todd, Mark knew about the history of slavery and the civil rights movement. This is the email I got. He'd read books and visited the Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, D.C., but Mark's knowledge of the past was deepened and enhanced when he participated in a hands-on experience earlier this year at the Legacy Museum in Montgomery, Alabama, alongside a diverse group of leaders organized by the National... I'm like a winter car trying to start in Minnesota. This is what, if you've never been to Minnesota in December or January, trust me, you hear that sound everywhere. But don't worry, it doesn't last long because it goes... Ah, 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 And then you know you're in big trouble. You're welcome. That and my Deepak Chopra and Francis Chan impersonation. Bang on. The National Association of Evangelicals. Cool. So if you'd like to support them, you can help them shape the lives of more Christian leaders like Mark. Oh, good. If this is any indication of the wokeness of the National Association of Evangelicals, zoinks, Scoob. Now, I know there are some good guys that are at the NAE, but wow, when they're looking to encourage people to support them at the end of the year, based on DEI, based on CRT, how's the National Association of Evangelicals doing these days? Story time! Jimmy, you should be proud of me.
Why is that?
Because I didn't send people to Fortis Institute.
Oh, yeah.
.org/donate.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is an interesting story from Wired. A lot of designer babies are now full-on kids or teenagers. What's a designer baby? Typically where a father and a mother or husband and wife or just partners, they want to have a baby in a particular kind of child is their desire. One who plays the piano, athletic, is intellectual, whatever it is, you can design your baby through IFB, in vitro fertilization. Thanks, Todd, for sharing the acronym. And these kids now are grown up. And guess what? We're learning some things about these households where parents, they felt like they needed a kid that had particular skill sets. So it's the sperm of the father and typically the egg of another woman. You put it together, wah and la, you've got the perfect child and everybody lives happily ever after. Right? Some of the families are discovering, as hard as you try, things don't always work out as planned. The kids feel like walking science experiments. The parents are disappointed in how their progeny turned out. Fertility businesses are selling a better chance of domestic bliss, and the families feel cheated. Well, isn't this predictable? Anytime human beings decide they are going to play the role of God, whatever manifestation that takes. And when I say manifestation, I don't mean that in a T.D. Jakes modalistic kind of way. However it presents itself, whenever human beings decide, no, we got this, God, we're going to make these decisions. You're going to get yourself a dog's breakfast, which is why the euthanasia movement, look out, the slippery slope. Sorry, we ain't done slipping, but we're seeing some glimpses of it in the Netherlands. You open up the door to saying that doctors can facilitate the death, to expedite the death, to alleviate suffering, we're told. Where is it going? People with mental health issues? People who are very depressed? You don't think that it's going to get to that? You don't think it's going to get to people making decisions that, wow, the cost of care for this elderly person is extremely high? And they just lay there in that bed all day. Don't think for a second it can't go there. Whenever we play God, the consequences will inevitably be worse than anybody even imagined. Here's the story of one psychologist on the West Coast describing her experience with these kids. I worked at an adolescent treatment center. I kept coming across teens who were in distress about the way they'd been created. Their parents had wanted a child who was musical or athletic or tall. So basically, Jimmy, they wanted me without the athletic or musical part. So they found egg donors with the traits they wanted, created embryos with the husband's sperm, and then implanted them, often in surrogates. Usually these couples didn't have fertility issues. I don't know what that means for sure. They're just paying somebody to do the heavy lifting of pregnancy. Quote, I've counseled a number of these families in the last 10 to 15 years. People who have children this way often place too much importance on genes while ignoring the environment. It's like, this is what our family's going to look like. We're going to pick a kid and this is how we're going to put it together. Mom's going to be in charge of the whole thing. It's like a project or building a company. People don't realize they're creating a human being and not a piece of furniture. That should be somewhat self-evident. In Silicon Valley, there are many distant parents, usually fathers, who hardly know their children. Sometimes the mom and child don't bond either. A lot of men who are extremely successful want things a certain way. They usually don't get told no. So they want their kids to show up in a way that they want. What happens? It's a disaster. Some kids have disabilities from being born preterm, which is a big risk with IFV, or they have learning differences. They can have autism. Some parents chose an egg donor and later found out that the egg donor had psychiatric problems. Then the kid gets viewed through that lens, which can be devastating. I don't know if anyone is making sure parents understand they can't test drive a child and then return it. The child grows up feeling different, knowing they were an experiment, but not getting the proper support or acceptance they need to thrive, because there's not a caregiver who's like, I get you. There's none of that. And so it is. We will continue to write these stories. Why? Because we are determined to kick God off of his throne, the one who opens and closes the womb, and play his part. And I got to tell you, the reviews, Rotten Tomatoes doesn't have a low enough score for human beings that try to play the role of God. How tragic for these kids and families. This is Wretched Radio.
You notice how the world feels a lot different lately? At Fortis Institute, we see it too, and we're responding with even more resources to help you stand strong. Every single day, you get fresh video content that addresses today's critical issues. You get podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology, biblical insight from trusted voices like Pastor Brad Bigney and Dr. John Kratz, plus Gary Barbell's weekly cartoons that are funnier than any dad joke you can ever hear from me. Todd made me say that. Best of all, everything is absolutely free through our Fortis Plus app. From Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, we are equipping believers like you to thrive in this brave new world. So join thousands of Christians who are already growing stronger in their faith every single day. Just visit FortisInstitute.org or download Fortis Plus right now. Always free and always faithful to God's Word. Fortis Institute at FortisInstitute.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, let's take a minute and talk about your Christmas shopping list. You know, the one with all of those people who either have everything or return everything. Well, from now through Christmas, Fortis Institute is running a sale up to 75% off of everything in the Fortis store. Here's what makes this better than another ugly Christmas sweater. Spend $75, we're going to throw in Thou Shalt Judge featuring Justin Peters and Todd Friel completely free. It's giving the gift of biblical wisdom. And we'll even cover shipping on orders over $75, because between untangling Christmas lights and dodging invites to your office Christmas party, you've already got enough stress this time of year. Listen, you could waste your Christmas budget on another gadget that'll be obsolete by Valentine's Day, or you could give something that's been relevant for about 2,000 years. Just visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. And while everybody else is out panic buying scented candles and gift cards, you could actually be giving something that won't end up at next year's White Elephant Exchange. FortisInstitute.org.
Know your reformers. William Tyndale provided the first complete translation of the New Testament into English in 1526. While he was in prison for the crime of translating the Bible, he continued to translate the Old Testament until he was strangled and burned at the stake in 1536.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And Joseph went up from Galilee to Bethlehem with Mary, his espoused wife, who was great with child. And she brought forth a son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And the angel of the Lord spoke to the shepherds and said, I bring you tidings of great joy. Unto you is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
There's a problem with this angel,
said a Pharisee who happened to be strolling by the stable. As he explained to Joseph, angels are widely regarded as religious symbols, and the stable was on public property where such symbols were not allowed to land or even hover.
Besides, said the Pharisee, there are no such things as angels, and telling a child that they're real will only hinder the child's emotional development. And I have to tell you, the whole thing looks very much like a nativity scene. That's a no-no too.
Joseph had a bright idea.
What if I put a couple of reindeer over there near the ox and donkey?
He said, eager to avoid sectarian strife.
Just to clinch it, throw in a candy cane and a couple of elves and snowmen too. No court can resist that.
Now, Mary asked,
what does my son's birth have to do with snowmen?
Snow persons,
cried a young woman, changing the subject before it veered dangerously toward religion. With the arrival of the three wise men, someone gasped.
They're all male, not very multicultural.
Belshazzar here is black,
said one of the magi.
Yeah, but how many are gay or disabled?
A committee was quickly formed to find an impoverished lesbian wise person among the lame of Bethlehem. Thankfully, a calm voice said,
be of good cheer, Mary. You have done well, and your son will change the world.
At last, a sane person, Mary thought. She turned to see a radiant and confident female face. The woman spoke again.
There is one thing, though. Religious holidays are important, but can't we learn to celebrate them in ways that unite, not divide? For instance, instead of all this business about Gloria in Excelsis Deo, why not just season's greetings?
Mary said,
you mean my son has entered human history to deliver the message, hello, it's winter?
That's harsh, Mary,
said the woman.
Remember, your son could make it big in midwinter festivals if he doesn't push the religion thing too far. Centuries from now, in nations yet unborn, people will give each other pricey gifts and have big office parties on his birthday. That's not chopped liver.
One of the shepherds called out from the back of the crowd,
the prophet Micah wrote that out of Bethlehem would come a ruler to shepherd God's people.
And that's just a myth,
said the head of the prophet seminar who had just arrived with his committee.
We scholars have determined that the prophets actually said very little of what they are credited with saying. And everything they reportedly said about a Messiah was added years later by other writers.
How did you determine that?
We cast lots.
And Mary took Joseph's hand and said,
Joseph, tell me again what the angel Gabriel said to you about our son.
Squeezing her hand, Joseph answered,
he said that we should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
Mary looked down at her son and sighed deeply and then said to no one in particular,
I wonder if they'll let him.
The end.
This is Wretched Radio. Actually, that needs to be updated. Mary should say, cool, they finally made a movie about me where I'm the star and I get all of the attention. And when I walk around, people gasp thinking, oh, she's the gift from God. While Mary was indeed a special servant, she was just that, like the rest of us, a servant. It is her son that should be the focus. He should be the spotlight. He should. When you consider the Gospels, who else looks great besides Jesus? Seriously, we keep reading about the disciples. We're making our way through Matthew at Alpharetta Bible Church, and we keep seeing the disciples. Now, they're not dithering morons, but they're not superstars either. Who in the Gospels looks amazing besides Jesus? And the answer is nobody, and that's intentional. Because the reality is we all need saving from our sins, and that includes Mary. So, Jimmy, the good news is, as I've been thinking about satires and updating our satires here, because some of it, these things are really old.
Oh, yeah.
And they need updating. The problem is, I was thinking, how do you write satire these days?
Because it's all reality.
It is. What we used to joke about, it's like, oh, that's here. There's bits in here that we could play where you'd go, that's not funny anymore, because that's just reality. I think the about the banquet. Remember the banquet thing?
Oh, the
company Christmas party.
Yeah,
And the guy's getting increasingly frustrated that people are making demands for what their table and what the food and who sits next to whom. And it's like, oh, that's all just normal now. Thank you for the extended chuckle. I actually found it. We won't play this whole thing because it's dated.
Hi, Pat here. I'm happy to inform you that the company Christmas party will take place on December 23rd, starting at noon in the private room at the Grill House. There will be a cash bar and plenty of drinks. We'll have a small band playing traditional carols. Feel free to sing along. And don't be surprised if our CEO shows up dressed as Santa Claus. A Christmas tree will be lit at 1 p.m.
Yeah, this is all
exchange
problematic.
Of gifts among employees can be done at that time.
Yeah,
however, no gift should be over $10 to make the giving of gifts easy for everyone's pockets. This gathering is only for employees. A special announcement will be made by our CEO at that time. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Wow, is he blowing it? Merry Christmas. We're going to be singing carols, gift exchanges.
Pat here. In no way was yesterday's memo intended to exclude our Jewish employees. We recognize that Hanukkah is an important holiday, which often coincides with Christmas, though unfortunately not this year. However, from now on, we're calling it our holiday party.
See, this is just reality now. This is not a joke. It's all here.
The same policy applies to any other employees who are not Christians or those still celebrating Reconciliation Day. There will be no Christmas tree present, no Christmas carol sung. We will have other types of music for your enjoyment.
Yeah, this is all. What's so funny about this satire?
Happy now? Happy holidays to you and your family. Hi, this is Pat again. Regarding the note I received from a member of Alcoholics Anonymous requesting a non-drinking table, you didn't sign your name. I'm happy to accommodate this request, but if I put a sign on a table that reads AA only, you wouldn't be anonymous anymore. How am I supposed to handle this? Forget about the gifts exchange. No gifts exchange are allowed since the union members feel that $10 is too much money and executives believe $10 is a little chintzy. No gifts exchange will be allowed.
Okay. I guess we are playing this whole thing. I'm hearing him get wound up.
Hi, this is Pat. What a diverse group we are. I had no idea that December 20th begins the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, which forbids eating and drinking during daylight hours. There goes the party. Seriously, we can appreciate how a luncheon at this time of year does not accommodate our Muslim employees' beliefs. Perhaps the Grill House can hold off on serving your meal until the end of the party, or else package everything for you to take home in a little foil doggy bag. Will that work? Meanwhile, I've arranged for members of Weight Watchers to sit farthest from the dessert buffet, and pregnant women will get the table closest to the restrooms.
Nothing in here about gluten. See, we could update it with some gluten nuts. Gluten and nuts.
Gays are allowed to sit with each other. Lesbians do not have to sit with gay men.
This should be, we will all celebrate LGBT. There will be a tree that will be wrapped in rainbow colors.
Each will have their own table. To the person asking permission to cross-dress, no cross-dressing.
Though,
we will have booster seats for short people. Low-fat food will be available for those on a diet. We cannot control the salt used in the food. We suggest for those people with high blood pressure to taste first. There will be fresh fruits as dessert for diabetics. The restaurant cannot supply no sugar desserts. Sorry, did I miss anything?
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Pat here. Vegetarians. You know, I've had it with you people. We're going to keep this party at the Grill House, whether you like it or not. She can sit quietly at the table, furthest from the grill of death, as you so quaintly put it, and you'll get your stupid salad bar, including the organic tomatoes. But you know, tomatoes have feelings too. They scream when you slice them. I've heard them scream. I'm hearing them scream right now. I hope you all have a rotten holiday. Drive drunk and die. Y'all hear me?
Hi, it's Joan Bishop, Acting Human Resources Director. I'm sure I speak for all of us in wishing Pat a speedy recovery.
Yeah.
I'll continue to forward your cards to him. In the meantime, management has decided to cancel our holiday party and give everyone the afternoon of the 23rd off with full pay. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays indeed. What used to be satire is now reality. What a world, what a world. Hey, it looks like most people aren't going to even attend Christmas services this year, according to Lifeway. Less than half of Americans will darken the doorstep of a church, but let's look at it positively. A lot of unbelievers will be there. Please, dear pastor, most likely if you're listening to this, these words certainly wouldn't be aimed at you, but, oh, pastor, please make sure that on Christmas Eve, when you do your service, you know you've gotta know you're gonna have unbelievers there. Make sure they hear the gospel. It's the only way to save a society from its insanity. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Well, Google's marketing team seems determined to learn things the hard way. Their latest Christmas ad features a bearded influencer in lipstick lamenting winter dryness while searching for skincare products. Apparently, nobody at Google has heard the phrase pulling a Bud Light. To the UK now, who just shut their door on youth gender experiments, announcing an indefinite ban on puberty blockers for minors except in clinical trials. Seems our cousins across the pond still remember basic biology. And despite the activists' annual claims about an epidemic of violence, 2024 saw zero confirmed anti-trans bias murders in America. A detailed review of this year's 29 reported cases revealed mostly domestic disputes, accidents, and altercations. The media's rush to paint every incident as evidence of widespread hatred says more about the narrative than the actual facts. President-elect Trump is having some diplomatic fun at the expense of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, referring to him as governor of the great state of Canada after their Mar-a-Lago dinner. I mean, when you spend years using MAGA conservative as your favorite insult, don't be surprised when the MAGA team remembers. Trudeau's team is stuck pretending it's all warmth and mutual respect, while Trump is gleefully reminding them who holds the trade cards. And speaking of awkward diplomatic situations, the Biden administration is considering removing an al-Qaeda offshoot from the terrorist list after they helped overthrow Syria's government. The last time he tried this strategy was with the same outfit that's now launching missiles at ships in the Red Sea. Some folks never learn that today's moderate rebels have a habit of becoming tomorrow's headlines. A Canadian government-funded media outlet is trying to convince readers that male athletic advantages are just a myth. At the same time, the UN reports men have claimed over 890 medals in women's sports. Alberta's response? Passing the first law in Canada protecting women's athletics. The science deniers at the conversation might want to have an actual conversation with reality. For the first time in U.S. history, a nativity scene will grace the steps of the Capitol, all thanks to a federal court ruling that establishes the steps as a public forum. And finally, TikTok is continuing to fight for survival against a potential U.S. ban, claiming constitutional protection for its 170 million American users. The platform argues there's no evidence China has accessed U.S. user data or manipulated content, though they may want to check if their privacy policy is written in Mandarin. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 432 AD. After escaping years of slavery in Ireland as a young man, Patrick, a British Christian, returns to Ireland as a missionary. His work results in multitudes of Irish people coming to the Christian faith. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Jimmy, riddle me this. How is Fortis Institute a lot like Bon Jovi? No, the correct answer is not. Todd can't sing either. Because, you know, his voice little shredded. But that is not the... Oh. How is this ministry, Fortis Institute, a lot like Bon Jovi?
I have no idea because that was my answer.
We're halfway there.
Halfway
We're halfway there. See what I did right there?
I see.
Yeah, I cherry picked a line from Living on a Prayer, because we don't need the Living on a Prayer line, but we'll take the we're halfway there, because we are halfway to our goal for our matching gift campaign.
Oh, now I get it.
Hey, look, if people can proof text the Bible, I can proof text Bon Jovi. Oh, wait until you see this. Oh, you can thank Dalton for this. He found a Christmas service. I don't know if it was this year or last year. It's a female preacher. She's wearing kind of this Grinch-colored green dress, which she probably had to spend a lot of time shopping for, to preach a sermon on the Grinch who stole Christmas. I kid you not, the church service was about the Grinch who stole Christmas. She exposited the Grinch who stole Christmas. She would read a line and then preach it and try to apply it to us. The Grinch who stole Christmas. It's bad enough when preachers do that with the Bible. That, you know, they'll take a line or even a word. Boy, you see a lot of people on TV doing that. Hey, this word, what this really means is, and if you compare that to the number 74, and you look at Psalm 119:74, oh, see what I did right there. That's bad enough. This woman was doing it with the Grinch who stole Christmas. Jimmy, would you be kind enough to pull up the Grinch? I can't think of a single line.
Okay.
I was never a big fan. I mean, I giggled at it when I was a kid, but we didn't spend time watching it with our kids. But I can't remember a line. Find a line from the Grinch and I'll preach a sermon. I just won't do it as shrilly. That shrilly. Oh, like chewing glass. Oh, please stop. Please stop yelling into the microphone, madam. Please, the Grinch. You got the Grinch pulled up?
Help me. I'm feeling.
Who said that?
The Grinch.
Help me out. So many people are feeling blue this time of year. And that's why we need to help them. I'm not kidding. That's what. Try another line. Maybe more than four words would be a little bit helpful.
It would be some helpful. Let's see. I did it.
Yes, you did. But you know what? You're growing me in forbearance, so I appreciate that. You know that sound effect drives me bonkers.
That's right.
So you do it, and then I have to practice patience.
Be it ever so heinous, there's no place like home.
So many homes are not going to be happy this Christmas. It's going to be heinous. Seriously, that's what she was doing. Except it was really more of a chide. The whole thing was just a scold. She actually started out by saying, okay, you're looking at it. I'm not, if you think this is annoying, wait till we show you this YouTube video. Some of you are looking at it like, we're the worst people in the world. She exegeted the Grinch who stole Christmas. So I can certainly proof text from Bon Jovi, because we are halfway there too. Wow, this is taking a long time. Halfway there to our goal for our matching gift campaign. December is a big month, really, for every ministry, including ours. And we are just overwhelmed. We're halfway there. It's a very large gift. It's a very large goal. And so many people have contributed to it. And we're so grateful. And we are, quite honestly, I can't speak for Jimmy. No. I'll never speak for Jimmy, but I continue to be, every single time I see any gift come in to this ministry, every time that I'm in the warehouse and I see an order, there's something about it that just, it gives me kind of like, oh boy, you're trusting us. You give us your credit card. You think that we're going to utilize your gifts in a godly way. Whoa. It feels awesome. I don't mean like, dude, awesome. I mean like, oh, so thank you to everybody who has contributed. If you have not yet, and you can, because you do not have unmanaged debt, and because you're already giving to your local church, would you please consider partnering with us so that we can do more? Do you know that we actually, Jimmy, I got to tell you, this is pretty amazing. We've actually got a 4-year plan.
Oh.
There are four big major initiatives that we've got planned over the next several years. They are really aggressive, really big. And I think that they are all going to serve and help the local church and the believers who are members in them. So if you'd please consider partnering with us, you double your impact. It's everything is matched. You can do that at FortisInstitute.org.
So let me be selfish. Am I part of that?
Part of what?
The four-year plan?
Am I still? Do I have a job? Yes, Jimmy.
Okay, good.
If nothing else, do you know why you should go to Fortis Institute or FortisPlus.org and listen to the podcast? Jimmy, okay. All right. I'll just lose my heavenly reward for this. What did I text you on Saturday from the gym? Do you remember? Come on.
I'm looking for it.
Okay. I said something nice to you, didn't I?
You did say something
nice. What did I just paraphrase?
You said, I appreciate you.
See, you're growing me in forbearance again. You're actually looking through your texter. We're talking. Just talk without looking at your phone. Yeah. See how he's growing me in patience?
You said just listening to integrate it. Dude, you do such a great job. Thanks for being really great at what you do. I appreciated that.
And there was no sarcasm added?
No.
Because normally I'll put a bow of sarcasm on something.
You did.
Just straight for. If you listen to John Kratz's his program, wow, it is. I think the one that I was listening to is just the episode on perspicuity, which is, as he pointed out, rightly so. It's kind of ironic that the word perspicuity means clarity, because who knows what a perspicuity is? I guess it would be pair through, seeing through would be perspicuity, that it's clarity. The Bible is clear. Sure, there are some difficult bits. I think God was very gracious. He kind of made the Bible a bit of a buffet. You know, the kids, they're going to go to the yogurt and maybe the desserts. Well, there's that. And then for the meat eaters, there's that. For those people who need comfort food, there's that. Jimmy?
Yes?
I think I'm exegeting the old country buffet. I'm doing better than the woman did with the Grinch who stole Christmas. Oh, that was eye-crossing. I'm just telling you. Hoofda. John Kratz's podcast, you can find it at Fortis Plus. You should listen to him, even if you don't hear the words. Hear him. And the first time I met John Kratz, I think it was at a G3 conference. First of all, I was like, dude, you're tall. I don't like it when I see eye to eye with people. I don't mean that like allegorically or metaphorically. I mean, like, same height. He's a tall dude. Warm and gracious and gentle and yet convictional. He's not a lib. And yet he's all of the things that Paul tells the Colossians the church is supposed to be forbearing. Sort of like I am with Jimmy when he's doing the thing. Thanks for growing me in fruit of the spirit, Jimmy.
You're welcome.
I could use some more work. The point is, I think he exemplifies a lot of the attributes that we believers are supposed to have, because it ain't easy. I tend to hear you're supposed to speak truth and love. And then it comes out like this. Yeah, well, speaking truth is love. Okay, well, yeah, that's true. But I think it's also supposed to sound loving, because we wouldn't be told to speak the truth in love if merely speaking the truth is automatically loving. Otherwise, we'd just be told, speak the truth. Don't worry about how you do it, because it's loving to simply speak the truth. No, when we speak the truth, it shouldn't be shrill, like, I don't know, a Grinch who stole Christmas preacher. It shouldn't be angry and aggressive or condescending or agitated. Isn't it funny when you read through the tweets and all of that? Some of the dialogue that goes on amongst evangelicals, you can almost hear how angry it sounds and how unloving the contents are. And that ought not to be. And as long as I brought up the subject of X, was just reading somewhere that kids are using the TikTok machine to get answers to their questions. I got it here someplace. That they use the TikTok they are asking questions about how am I supposed to live? What? How do I make decisions? What's the purpose of my life? And where are they going? TikTok. It is not my favorite delivery mechanism. I know that some of our videos some people use them on the TikTok machine. We haven't gone there just because it's TikTok and the whole environment just kind of gives me the shakes, but I'm kind of torn because if we can reach a lot of people there because they're searching, then that would not be the worst thing in the world, would it? And it's another reminder, if these TikTok statistics are correct, that increasingly kids go there to find videos to speak to them. It tells us they're asking questions. That raises a question for us. Will we talk to them to provide the answers? And will it be better than the Grinch who stole Christmas? This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know how everybody's always trying to sell you something? This is different. We're actually giving away more content than most ministries charge for. The Fortis Plus app, daily videos, podcasts, director's cuts, news, completely free. All of this happens because of gospel partners just like you. Our gospel partners are the ones that get it. They see what we're doing, standing firm on biblical truth, strengthening churches, and helping people think biblically about everything going on in our upside down world. And that's why we want to ask you, if you're not already a gospel partner, we would love for you to join us. Maybe you've been listening for a while, and maybe you're thinking someone should help keep this going. Well, that someone could be you. Would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Just head over to FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org and get all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies, the war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, do you ever wish you could be in two places at once? Well, your money can. That's right. Thanks to a $500,000 matching grant, every dollar you give to Fortis Institute is literally having an identity crisis. It thinks it's $2. And who are we to argue with confused currency? And I know what you're thinking. This sounds like one of those too good to be true deals. But I promise there is no fine print, no while supplies last, and definitely no purchase of additional items required. Just straight up dollar for dollar matching. Here's the deal. You gift $100, it becomes $200. Gift $500, it transforms into $1,000 faster than you can say tax-deductible donation. And if you're feeling really generous, $5,000 becomes $10,000. But unlike those infomercial offers that run every other week, this one, it really does have an expiration date, December 31st. That's when this magical money-multiplying moment ends. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org. In a world where everything seems to be getting smaller, isn't it nice to see your impact getting bigger? FortisInstitute.org.
Books of the Bible. 1 Corinthians is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. Paul addresses his concerns about divisions and immorality in the church. Then Paul answers questions from the Corinthians about marriage, food, worship, gifts, and the resurrection. When you want to understand God's high calling for the church, look to 1 Corinthians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Thanks, Jimmy. You just keep growing me in patience. This is Wretched Radio. Okay, fine. I blew it. I missed the John Krotz opportunity to play this.
One way to make your Christmas merry this year is by slowing down.
Just listen to him. This is what I'm talking about here. This is John Krotz. He's one of the Fortis Institute fellows. He's a pastor in Shopsburg. You got to say it. The R has got to be soft. Shopsburg, like spell it Shopsburg. Shopsburg, Georgia. And then suddenly you've got a Southern accent. He is so pastoral, but even he's godly. this is worth listening to and then comparing our tones against his.
One way to make your Christmas merry this year is by slowing down.
He's like Michael Bublé. I remember the first, okay, this is weird. I actually have a memory that I remember because not much sticks around up there. I was in Los Angeles driving around with a little growing pain. And he said, yo, you got to listen to this guy. It's really great. And then he put in Michael Bublé. And I remember immediately thinking the guy sings with a smile on his voice. And that's how John Kratz sounds. He just has a smile on his voice. This is well worth emulating. And I promise I won't press pause again.
One way to make your Christmas merry this year is by slowing down and becoming intentional. Reminding your kids and your family, reminding yourself of why we do what we do at Christmas time. You can take this too far. One year I did. We were gathered around the Christmas tree, passing out presents to our kids, and I didn't want them to become materialistic. I wanted them to appreciate Jesus and value
this.
Him. And so I started our Christmas morning by reminding our kids that we all deserve to go to hell. And anything that we get as a gift is so much better than what we deserve.
Is he going to say that's a bad thing?
Now, technically, I was true, but I kind of blew it that Christmas. So don't be like me and go too far. But do slow down. Why do we give gifts? Why do we gather together with our brothers and sisters and sing these songs? It's about Jesus. And as we do slow down and become intentional, that's going to help us to have a very merry Christmas.
And that is Dr. Pastor, the Reverend Dr. John Kratz, who is a Fortis Fellow. We are super grateful for his participation. You can hear his podcasts at fortisplus.org. I've got Andrew Walker here, too. Does he have some Christmas advice for us?
I think so.
Okay, does it have anything to do with the Grinch who stole Christmas?
Nope.
Then we're good to go.
In our culture, we talk about having a Merry Christmas. And you might be wondering, how do we have a Merry Christmas? And I want to point us towards 1 Timothy 6:6, where the Apostle Paul says, contentment with godliness is great gain. So I want to encourage you over this holiday season to practice contentment. That might mean for you what it is probably going to mean for me, which is I'm going to be trying to take every opportunity that I can to get a good book, some good Christmas music, and to sit and quietly read and reflect upon the kindness of God that He gives us this time of the year, that He gives us time with our family. And most of all, He gives us this wonderful celebration called Christmas, where we celebrate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus Christ alone that provides us the ultimate ground for our contentment.
Contrary to what the new Joel Osteen-produced Mary movie would teach you on the Netflix machine. That gives me, just listening to Andrew, I think we talked about this a week ago, about making your Christmas celebrations less by asking the question, what's your goal? So when those relatives come over that get up your nose, what's your goal? So why do they bug you? Most likely, it's because you want it to be a Currier Knives Christmas. You want it to be fun. You want it to be jolly. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But if that's the goal, most likely your relatives are going to help you miss it. But if your goal is, I actually want to be a light at Christmas, then you will interact with them in a way that is actually intentional and loving because you have a bigger, loftier, eternal goal, and that is to see the salvation of their souls. And maybe a similar question should be asked by all of us. Right, what is my expectation for Christmas? Once again, I find it fascinating. We don't do this about Easter, but because the culture is so hot about Christmas, and we are surrounded by it for an entire month or more. Let's ask the question, what's my goal for Christmas? What is your expectation? Do you expect a feeling? How long do you expect that feeling to last? How intense should that feeling be? What is that feeling anyway? What are you hoping for? Because if you don't have some sort of goal, you're almost certainly going to miss the mark. I wonder if that isn't why a lot of us feel frustration. We don't really define what it is that our expectation is for Christmas. And then when it happens and we roll through the season, it's like, well, that was kind of, and then we get back to the office. How was your Christmas? It was okay. Pretty good. Yeah, fine. Good. No presents and stuff like that. Nobody had a Lexus in the driveway, which apparently people do. Otherwise, they wouldn't keep making the commercials. I don't know who those people are, but good on you if you can buy somebody a Lexus for Christmas. You're going to feel disappointed by it. So what is your hope for Christmas? Is it something that is at all attainable? And might it be worth our time to consider what it could be? What one thing, what could it be that you could actually, when it's all done, check the box and say, yes, I know that. Could it be that you grow in your understanding of your own depravity? That could be a goal. And that ain't a bad goal, by the way. That Jesus Christ was born in a manger. He, talk about extreme. God became flesh. Why? Because you're a really bad sinner. And maybe if that's just the goal for it, that you think about that when you walk by a manger scene. Wow, God had to become a baby to live a perfect life of righteousness because I can't because I'm such a bad sinner. Okay, then when it's all done, and you're at the office and somebody says, how was your Christmas? You can go, awesome. Great. Why? Because you met your goal. Could it be your appreciation for Jesus? Could it be your appreciation for redemption? Could it be your appreciation? Maybe it's an appreciation for all of the tangible things that he's done for us. Look around. My favorite hymn, Lord of Glory, who has bought us? With your lifeblood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones, that tremendous sacrifice. Now here it comes. And with that, so not only did he give us redemption, and with that has freely given blessings countless as the sand to the ungrateful and the evil with thine own unsparing hand. Consider all that he's done. So maybe we're sitting around the tree and opening up the gifts. Then look around. The chair you're sitting in is a gift from God. The carpet that are underneath your feet that are wrapped in slippers. Gifts, 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 everywhere. Gifts. Your left knee hurts, but your right one doesn't. There's a gift for you. What is your goal for Christmas? I wonder if we wouldn't all be helped by defining what it is that we are hoping for. All right, Jimmy, as long as we're doing fellows, who else do we have in here?
Adam Tyson.
And push this button.
Hey guys, Adam Tyson here, and I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. How can you make your Christmas merry this year? One of the things I try to do around Christmas is just to think about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, throughout redemptive history, God's always brought babies at special times in Israel's history and even in the New Testament as well. We think about the birth of Isaac to Abraham and Sarah. We think about the birth of Samuel to Elkanah and Hannah. We think about in the New Testament, the birth of John the Baptist, who was a forerunner to Christ. And if you go back and look at the texts that surround those births, there's something miraculous happened. Either the lady was older, or she was barren, and God just gave her life. And when you think about Mary and the virgin birth, that's the greatest gift of all. The greatest message and the greatest hope that God could ever give would be that he's going to send his son, his one and only son, who would fully be God and fully be man. And that happens through the virgin birth. God miraculously gave Mary a baby, that he's fully human and fully God. And that means that we can be redeemed. That means that Jesus can die in our place as a human, but he's also fully God, meaning that he's divine. And he's the perfect sacrifice. So when I think about Christmas, I just love to think about the incarnation. I love to think about the hope that the birth of Jesus Christ brings. I hope that'll encourage you to have a very Merry Christmas.
Did you hear the theology in that about the hypostatic union, fully God, fully man? He is the Savior we need. We need a man to represent us. We need a divine sacrifice to pay for our sins, for the debt we owe to God himself. Jimmy, I was reading something about, I think I was reading through church history on the subject of divorce and marriage, and somehow I stumbled into some early church fathers, which is why you always want to be a little bit discerning with those guys. They were talking about how when Mary gave birth, she didn't feel any pain. Mm. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. And no doubt she did. Why? Because it was a very typical birth. It is the baby that is unique. And by the way, the baby in the manger did cry. because he was fully human and fully God, because he is the exact Savior that you and I need. Maybe thinking about that should be our goal for this Christmas. After all, I think that's exactly what Christmas is all about. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.